Good morning, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the 2018-2022 Industrial Plan by Astaldi. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in the listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, please press star followed by zero. Now, I'd like to give the floor to Alessandra Onorati, Head of Investor Relations. Mrs. Onorati, the floor is yours. Good morning and welcome to the presentation of the new strategic plan Astaldi 2018-2022. We will start the presentation, and I'd like to give the floor to the President, Chairman Paolo Astaldi. Thank you and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are finally there. The time has come, the long-awaited time. Everybody has been waiting for it. I'm not saying that it was a difficult delivery because this would just be playing down things, but the truth is that we have been very, very busy over the last few months because we wanted to somehow surprise you, and maybe you have already had some surprises. But most of all, we have worked on a pretty clear-cut strategy, a straightforward strategy that I will try and walk you through. The capital increase that we announced and which we will be performing before the summer had been seen as a sign of weakness by many, as a criticality. We have interpreted it in a different way. We have seen it as an opportunity, as a way to really respond to the crisis, the recession in the industry, the competition, which is becoming harsher and harsher and tougher on the international stage. So we have tried to provide a different answer. I think that Astaldi has been the only company that actually has implemented and put in place such a plan. And I'd like to explain it now very clearly. So first of all, we have tried to focus on quality in our construction works. We only, you see, choosing price only would just be a reductive choice, considering also the harsh competition internationally coming from companies that can afford to do undercutting, basically. We can't do that. We don't want to do that. We rather believe that we have quality. The quality of our product is higher, so we have decided to stand out and to set ourselves apart precisely because of this. And in order to do this, we have taken a look around. Astaldi has a long-standing tradition and track records of cooperation and partnerships. I'm not saying from the very, very beginning, but we have had many experiences in joint cooperation. And at one point, we thought that this cooperation could reach a higher level so that a partner could join to help us enhance our qualities. IHI is the right partner. Why? Because we know each other, because we have worked together in Turkey, we have developed many initiatives jointly, because this is a serious, long-standing partner, and of course, their quality integrates and complements our product and vice versa. They have an important footprint, and our presence and their presence is integrate and complement each other, so they enable us to penetrate markets that are not yet covered by us, and at the same time, we give them the opportunity to enter markets that they're interested in, but where they do not yet have a stable presence. And also, the presence of a Japanese partner opens up ways to consolidation, meaning it enables us to to reinforce, strengthen our presence in some specific markets. Last year, during the industrial plan, we had highlighted that we wanted a capital light approach to concessions, so that there could be a better benefit thanks to the contribution from our Japanese partner, and thanks to the fact that Japan has a very effective incentive system to exports. Well, thanks to all this, we think that this can be a further advantage, thus enabling us to seize the opportunities that arise, because CapEx was considered too high, we were marginalized before. Just a couple of words on our partner. IHI is one of the main companies in Japan. It's listed on the Japanese Stock Exchange. 12 billion euros is the revenues. It is a pretty diversified group. For those of you who do not know it, it ranges from heavy industry, automotive, aero engine, space and defense, and infrastructure for 1.2 billion euros. So quite an important segment, business line. So we are very, very pleased with this partnership. This partnership actually sees an entrance with a minority stake, because at the end of the capital increase, HI will hold 18% of the stake in Astaldi, so it will be the largest minority shareholder in Astaldi, a partnership that enables the reference shareholder, Astaldi reference shareholder, to maintain control over the company. So from this point of view, there is no disinvestment. On the contrary, there is even a stronger commitment to bring ahead the development plans that have been announced, and that will be better listed by the CEO during his presentation. What else? Well, this enabled us to announce the capital increase, and as you know, it amounts to 300 million euros. The majority shareholders, Finast, IHI, will subscribe the 52% of the capital increase that will be fully covered by these three players. So, these are the news. This is the news we wanted to provide. We hoped this would be a surprise, but actually it was spoiled. But anyway, it is a positive surprise anyway, because it is a good, important, significant response to the market. It is a different response, and it sets us apart from our competitors, because honestly speaking, to my knowledge, there is no other company in Europe that has adopted this kind of development model. So an important synergy between two significant large players working in the very same business line, a true integration, joining forces that in the medium term can definitely bring us up to being one of the benchmark players on the market. So that I don't want to add anything else. Of course, I'm available for any questions once the presentation is over. And I'd now like to give the floor to the CEO. Have a good day. Very well, thank you. Here we are presenting the new strategic plan, Astaldi 2018-2022. I'd like to thank the chairman for the introductory remarks, and I will resume some of the topics he just briefly mentioned during my presentation. It is an important topical time for us. It is a strategic objective we have discussed many, many times in the different conference calls. Today we have delivered this other important objective. So I'd now like to talk about the strategic plan that includes this action, this measure. As you can see on slide 6, the pillars of the strategic plan presented last year, but in 2016 too, The pillars were sustainable growth, de-risking, and financial strength. So what about the new strategic plan? Well, this plan absolutely is in continuity with the previous ones, so the main items are still the same. And what about the partnership with IHI? What happens here? Well, the fact is that IHI does not change our strategic objectives at all, but it rather boosts them even more from a pragmatic point of view. So our strategic plan still rests on the very same important pillars. As far as sustainable growth is concerned, the company has focused once again on the EPC contract and the operation and maintenance activities in order to make revenues and margins more visible. As to the de-risking, the management has worked hard in order to diversify and consolidate presence in low-risk countries. Then we have paid specific attention to the reduction of net working capital, and of course we would also like to reduce concession capex. But as we said before, Astaldi is not giving up the concession universe, but it is rather moving about in this universe with a capital-light model only and only if the financial situation allows us to do so. But concessions are still an asset, and we want to maintain it. As to the financial strengthening of the company, today we have a different idea than 2 years ago because of the capital increase. And as the chairman said before, this will be completed. The procedure will be completed by the end of the summer, so the third quarter basically. Then asset disposal and the refinancing of the capital structure. Now, moving on to slide 7, very briefly, just some pieces of information on the announced partnership, our industrial partner, IHI. As the chairman said, this company is listed on the Tokyo Stock Exchange with 5 billion market capitalization. It has a global profile. It is a very relevant company in Japan with 12 billion revenues, approximately. Four main business lines, one of which is definitely to up our street, so to speak. And that's why we have based our industrial partnership precisely on this, which is the social infrastructure and offshore facilities. So, moving on to slide 8, why IHI? Why picking them? Well, IHI is a company we have known for a long time. We have cooperated on several tenders and projects and contracts. Just to mention one, the fourth longest bridge in the world, in the Izmit Bay Crossing Bridge, the IHI constructed. IHI is able to deliver these complex niche works. It has been a very, very positive, rewarding experience for us. Then we took part in other tenders together, and we even took part together in the tender for the suspension bridge in Romania, the Braila Bridge. So the operating joint venture was set up. So two facilities met each other, integrated, and we know each other down well now. And also we know what we can offer mutually to each other. And moreover, IHI is a Japanese company, and we know that the Japanese prefer long-term investments. But in order to better understand why we decided to strike this partnership agreement, I'd now like to move to slide 9, where we wanted to basically represent the three main cornerstones on which we have rested, we have founded our partnership. Of course, we target projects with high technological content in specific geographies with a multi-year outlook. What about Astaldi? What has Astaldi to offer? Astaldi is a general contractor well known worldwide, thereby it has experience and the possibility to manage different projects. Astaldi can IHI can construct huge niche projects, so that thereby reducing execution risk, and we also expect a lot of support on projects requiring funding. What about the operating content of this agreement? How will it work out? Well, there is a structure, which is a commercial committee that is independent from the two structures, with two representatives per company, and they will define the tenders we will work on during the year. There is already a definition of some sort of joint venture agreement for the tenders we will be granted together. On top of that, we will have the know-how of the two companies put together and at the disposal for these projects we will carry out together. Of course, during the past few months, we have worked hard on this. It is a very interesting move for us. They have come to know our company too, and they also showed interest in joining the company with a minority stake. And there will also be one of their members in the board. Then on page 10, I want to highlight that a partnership, in order to be a winning one, a winning partnership must be a win-win proposition. And working together means understanding what we can offer to each other. And we need to really put together the two know-hows and harvest synergies. So what can Astaldi offer? Why is AHI interested in Astaldi and vice versa? And why will this partnership prove to be a winning one? Well, first of all, Astaldi can offer to IHI an opening up of areas where we have a very consolidated market. And I'm talking about Europe, Latin America, North America, where we have an established footprint. Of course, we have quite an effective operating model. We are good at managing complex projects. We are a well-known general contractor with a management fully equipped for many different areas. We can manage concession projects too. And on the other hand, what does IHI offer? What does it contribute to Astaldi? First of all, it opens up opportunities in the Far East. We already are present in the Far East, but thanks to this local industrial partner, this will definitely be expanded. The Far East offers many opportunities, and Astaldi has had an interest in them for quite a long time. Of course, it will be the ability to execute projects will be complemented by the distinctive skills of IHI. They have specific competencies and know-how for some complex structures, like, for example, bridges. And then there's also the possibility to access Japanese financial partners. I provided more details on this, but it was important for me to emphasize another important element in order to make our goals more attainable, and I'm also speaking of the industrial and business goals. This is why I've provided you detailed information on the operation of this industrial partnership, and I've added a few more details to the overall presentation made by our chairman. I would like to hand over to the presentation of the strategic plan, which is on page 12. The strategy is confirmed, so there's full continuity with regard to the strategic plan that was submitted last year. We have already spoken of the main pillars: sustainable growth, de-risking, and financial strengthening. These continue to be the major cornerstones of our plan. The strengthening of the managerial structure comes on top with regard to the management of the larger projects, and with regard to the risk management part, we have introduced new procedures in order to manage the risk. So we have strengthened the risk management capabilities of our company. And all this is now being supported by the new business partnership and industrial partnership, and with the capital increase that we will be presenting today. This will be a strengthening of the capital structure. 1 billion worth of capital increase, 300 million capital increase, disposal of assets. So the disposal of the concession assets, and a further billion has to do with the refinancing of the debt maturity structure, and there will be a 750 million reprofiling and the extension of the maturities of the existing credit lines. I would like to draw your attention to the fundamental elements of the business plan, and then in the next slides we will dwell on the economic goals and on the financial structure. On page 13, we repeat and emphasize once again that in the last two strategic plans, and this has been confirmed by the new 2018-22 plan, is focused on sustainable growth, and sustainable growth envisages the new types of contracts in order to reduce indebtedness as much as possible, and in order to restore some important elements, stock of advanced payments, and having an autonomous cash flow. Then the ability of Astaldi to pursue projects under EPC contracts, and by this I mean a complex project, and this is something which is a well-established effect in all the various areas that we are operating in. On top of this, our goal is to provide a full process management from engineering to procurement and construction. And we have opened up to operation and management. We have an expertise and know-how that makes it possible for us to offer project engineering, construction, and then maintenance and operation in the subsequent years. This is what we offer to our clients. We focused our attention on EPC contracts. These are contracts that are acquired in tender processes where various parameters are being assessed and evaluated, not just the price, but also the know-how that the potential contractor is able to offer. I emphasize once again that thanks to these contracts, we can restore the stock of advance payments. We can guarantee a cash flow and recurring payments in order to have a project with an autonomous cash flow. And then there is another important element, which we will see later. This enables us to avoid some issues of the past. This prevents us from generating the slow-moving items. In the previous 2 years, we have embarked on these activities. And Saudi, at present, on the construction side, has about 83% of contracts which are structured as EPC contracts. The remaining 17% of contracts were acquired through conventional tender processes that are based entirely on price. So contracts which are awarded entirely on price. How has the Ansaldi profile changed from this perspective, starting from 2016 to today? And this is explained on slide 14. You see that in 2010, Ansaldi had a backlog composed as follows: 48% traditional contracts and 52% EPC contracts, most of them derived from the concessions acquired by Astaldi. At present, the portfolio is composed as follows: 83% EPC contracts and 17% traditional contracts. So this is our current backlog composition. At the bottom of slide 14, you see a list of the most significant projects in the backlog. These are the most important, the top 10 construction projects, some of which in Italy, the others abroad. If we group together the top 10 construction projects, they make up for 4.5 billion of the backlog. And you see that this is set against the 8.4 billion of EPC contracts. We have been working a lot on this. We managed to acquire major projects and contracts. And the most important element has been the fact that in all these tender processes, a very high emphasis was put on the company's know-how and expertise. Slide number 15 emphasizes that the strategic plan that was presented last year envisaged an additional business line, which is operational and management. And so Astaldi provides services also in this area of business, and it operates on this basis in contracts deriving from concessions acquired in previous years. For us, operations and management contracts are offered to healthcare facilities. So this refers to the hospital facilities that we have in our backlog. The activity was started in 2017, and the contribution to revenues coming from O&M contracts amounts to 86 million. And our objective is to achieve 250 million of revenues coming from this type of activity from now to 2022, so 250 million. And the hospitals that we will start to manage this year are the Chile Hospital and the Santiago Airport in Chile, which is going to get on our operation next year. So why did we focus on this business area? Operations and management margins are significantly higher than the margins that the company can derive from the execution of the large construction works. On top of this, the cash-generating capabilities deriving from operations and management are something that you all know about. So with this new line of business, our aim was to strengthen our position and to increase the stability of the cash flow and revenues. On slide 16, I've emphasized a further fundamental element
That is part of the plan, of the strategic plan, and this is de-risking. We have been working on de-risking for the past couple of years. In 2017, we had in 2007, we had a 53% presence in the low-risk areas. We had a 42% presence in high-risk areas and 5% presence in medium-risk areas. Now the situation has changed completely in 2017. 72% of our backlog is in low-risk areas, 5% in high-risk areas, and 23% in medium-risk areas. This was an important target for us. The fact that we work in low and medium high-risk areas has an impact on project margins. Project margins are lower, of course. We started with an EBITDA of 11.7% in 2007, and we know that we will reach 9% in 2022. EBITDA will be impacted by this change, as shown on this slide. However, we will avoid having issues related to the net working capital increase. In 2022, we may have reached 13%. In 2017, it was 18.1, and in 2007, the net working capital was 27.7. The strategy focused on the geographical de-risking allows us to improve the working capital related issues and the order cash flow related issues, but it has an impact on the EBITDA. On page 17, we have presented the geographical diversification concept, and this reminds me of what was said at the beginning of this presentation. IHI will open up Far East regions in a more intensive way, and we will in turn provide our expertise to our Japanese partners in the areas we are currently working. Together with the strategic partner, we are looking at areas where infrastructure investments are a major part, and this will certainly turn into a winning partnership. And thanks to this partnership, we will continue consolidating our objective, our goals, industrial and financial goals. On slide 18, I've once again reported the approach, the capital light approach to concessions, an approach which we adopted several years ago. And here on this slide, we have represented our model, a model that we have been pursuing in the last two strategic plans. Our goal is to continue operating in the concession business, but with this type of approach, a minimum participation in the special vehicle structure and a greater share in the downstream contracts, that is to say the work execution and operations and management part of it. This approach was applied starting from a few years ago. You see on the right-hand part of the slide, it's not reported here, but in the Santiago Airport, we have a SPV participation of 15% and a 50% share on the EPC contract. Another example is this. The hospital facility we are constructing in Turkey was still based on the old approach, a 51% share in the SPV and an equal share participation in the EPC, and we didn't have a way out after the construction and the execution of the work. With this new approach, the share has changed, the split has changed completely. In our contracts, we have included a way out clause after the end of the construction works, upon completion of the construction works. A new model is being adopted. We are participating in a new tender in Canada for a railway line, and we have a 70% participation or share in the EPC contract and an equity participation of 30%. This is the Ontario Rail in Canada. And we are also opting for concession PPP projects where the public contribution is quite substantial. As far as this work is concerned, the public contribution to the investment amounts to 75%.
So with this kind of approach, the commitment by Astaldi should be more or less 10, 12, a dozen million. So we're talking about very limited, reduced investments to then obtain a very important large construction contract. So we are working hard on this kind of approach, capital light approach, and we are pursuing important objectives. In this case, too, we are expecting a contribution from IHI also to be able to involve financing investors precisely during the tendering procedure. Then, to give you a clearer picture, we have reported here all the commitments that we will have in terms of concessions from 2018 to 2022 in terms of CAPEX payout. So $29 million in 2019. So at the end of the period of the time horizon of the plan, we will, from 2015 to 2017, $111 million, and now 2019, 2022, $30 million. So a specific attention on this. Moving on to slide 19. So we are taking a look at the second structural pillar of our strategic plan. So we are talking once again about the de-risking and this financial strengthening in terms of working capital. I say it once again, the strategy to have sustainable growth through the EPC contracts has been chosen because these contracts enable this type of contracts enable us to restore the stock of advances, first of all. Secondly, this way we can have contracts and projects with an autonomous independent cash flow. And then three, these projects all have an autonomous cash flow, so milestones, specific milestones. And in these projects we contribute a know-how so that we don't have to replicate the problem of slow-moving items that we had in the past. So this kind of strategy results in a reduction of NWC over the next few years. Of course, the strategy started 2 years ago, and the effects will be visible in the next quarters. We also wanted to once again highlight what the management is has been trying to do for a few months, that is to the two historical receivables, Romania and Algeria, and at the end of this year, there should be light at the end of the tunnel. So Algeria, the escalation price must be recognized for $50 million. And Romania, the issue here is the arbitrate has been closed and it should be complied with this year for $72 million. So, of course, this kind of slow-moving receivables Well, the cash in was a forecast last year, but we had to reschedule them once again for a whole of reasons that we already repeated and stated in the previous conference calls. Then we have also highlighted the following, because there were many questions about this. The 138 million euros, which is the payment that we should receive, that we will receive from the third Bosphorus Bridge. This, in this case, we're talking about payments that have to do with extra works requested by the client, and this payment terms had been negotiated, so the two companies actually invested more, knowing down well and in advance that the payment would have happened during the concession years, over the life of the concession until 2026. In the net working capital in March, we have 83 million euros, maybe 106 for Samata. These are the works secured by contracts, and in the coming months, the payment terms will change. Slide 20, we go really to the core of this operation that I announced at the beginning. So 1 billion, I said, in terms of capital strengthening, because it is broken down into the capital increase, 300 million. It is made up of the concession disposals, 790 million. And then on top of this, in the 2018-2019 timing, we have used this timing because it also includes the disposal of the third Bosphorus 2018, the hospital Salespun, and the motorway, Gebit-Mirgoi. So this is 790 million. Will be unlocked between 2018 and 2019. Whereas as far as the other part of the operation, meaning the refinancing of the 750 million bond, the bond refinancing for 750 million, we expect an improvement and a renegotiation on the maturity of the current debt. 350 million improvement in credit facilities. This activity for the credit facilities, this will happen all within 2018. The bond refinancing is proceeding, and based on the market conditions, it will depend, but it is in our plan, and it should happen between the end of 2018 and 2019. The first thing we have to do, and this is a fundamental objective and scheduled objective, is that with this operation, with this program, the company will have to have a B rating, single B, and then we will refinance the bond. This operation has different aspects, but the end result should be a reduction on debt, and so a reduction of the cost of debt too. You know down well that at the end of every year, the cost of debt for Astaldi is 150 million euros. We think that we can target a sharp reduction. On page 21, we have the key features of the capital increase. So, capital increase, you know that the total amount is 300 million. The majority shareholder, Finast, and the strategic partner IHI have confirmed their irrevocable commitment for 53% of the total offering, so more or less 159 million euros. I'd like to also remind you that as for the capital increase that will be launched shortly, we have an underwriting agreement with JP Morgan, which subscribed a pre-underwriting, and then the underwriting is forecast and expected over the next month of June. So pre-underwriting and then underwriting. I think I have provided you with all the useful information, and JP Morgan doesn't need any introduction, is a very relevant international bank, world-class international bank. The main supporting banks have given their green light to the plan. So we hope that at the end of the procedure, when the underwriting will be put together, we hope that everybody will support us. Then on page 22, we have given you an update on the key asset disposals. So the third Bosphorus Bridge is being disposed of, and we expect cash in for €350 million from that. The process is already advanced. We expect binding offers in June, and then the procedure will be finalized by the end of 2018. Then Venice Mestre Hospital, €50 million. This should also happen by the end of 2018. And also for the GOI motorway disposal, the cash-in is confirmed in 2019. As for the GOI motorway, the preliminary activities for the disposal process, preliminary activities have already started earlier than the original plan last year. So we have already started negotiating with the partner, so the procedure has already started and is fully underway. Then on slide 23, we provide you with a recap of the refinancing of the capital structure. So we are now finalizing the discussions with the lending banks, and the objective is to renew our credit lines, committed credit lines. We are working also on the RCF refinancing for €500 million. As far as the bond is concerned, I have already told you what the plan is, and the main element is to stabilize the rating in the single B territory, and the maturity profile extension together with the bond refinancing will result in a change in the overall maturity of Astaldi's debt. So postponing a significant portion, a significant chunk of the debt. Of course, there are clear benefits, generally speaking. And we would also like to highlight that all managerial resources are focusing on the objectives, on the targets of the plan. So to summarize it all, to summarize the previous slide, to recap, on page 24, we see the objectives of the plan. So the company would like to exceed 3.3 billion this year and 3.5 billion in 2019, and in 2022, 4.2 billion. CAGR 30%, so sorry, 7%. Then EBITDA was 12% in 2017, the EBITDA margin, 11% in 2018, but as shown in the previous slides, in 2022 will achieve 9%. Then core EBITDA percentage, more or less 10% in 2018, 9% in the following years. Gross debt from 2.3 billion in 2017 down to 1.6 billion in 2018, because this incorporates the plan previously announced, then 1.2, 1.3 billion in 2019 and below 1 billion in 2022. Net debt, 1.267 billion in 2017. This is, of course, financial statements figures. Then 2018, 800, 900 million. 400, 500 million in 2019 and less than 200 million in 2022. One of the strengths of the company is its ability to acquire contracts. So the idea is to reproduce the portfolio. A book-to-bill should always stay above 1.1. I think that it was 1.2 in the first quarter. Last year it was 1.1. Then on the right of slide 24, we see the core EBITDA in absolute value in the plan time horizon. Then what between 1.6 and 1.7 billion. And then we have all the construction CapEx and working capital. And at the end of the time horizon of the plan, we should basically achieve 1.5 billion. So these are very challenging objectives, and they have to do with the construction business line. Then I'd like to point out the following. Very often during the conference call, I was asked, what about Venezuela? Is it included in these results? Because last year we mentioned it a lot, also considering what happened during the write-down. Well, this plan does not envisage any contribution, nor in terms of revenues or cash, from the Venezuela works. So no contribution whatsoever. So the construction works are at a standstill. There is no resume of works envisaged. And so we have not inserted all these data out of caution. So even the financial part does not include anything, not even the returns from Venezuela. We did this in order to be cautious, but we know damn well that our credit recovery activity is always very, very strong. And from 2021, we think that we will be able to recover part of that debt, to collect part of those receivables.
On slide number 25, we have drilled down on the gross debt. We have tried to explain the gross debt of 2017, 2.3 billion, and at the end of the plan, it will range between 900 and 1 billion. You see the various items and the extraordinary or non-recurring proceeds from disposal, 790 million, capital increase, 300 million, the effect from the operating cash flow deriving from construction activities, concession capex, 300 million, financial interests, 720 million, taxes and other items, 180 million. Dividends, if the plan is resolved upon, it will amount to 80 million. And at the end of everything, gross debt in 2022 will amount to 900 million, 1 billion. This is all as far as the strategic plan presentation is concerned. Now I would like to hand over to Marco Caucci. He will provide a more in-depth presentation of the company with a specific focus on the current backlog, and he will also dwell on other more detailed aspects of our business activities. Thank you very much. Thank you. And good morning, everybody. This will be a brief presentation. I will dwell on the key highlights of Astaldi's renewed strategy and activity. I will speak about Astaldi's current position and the future positioning after the implementation of the plan from a financial viewpoint and also in terms of the new synergies contribution. So the major highlights are reported on page 27. I will then provide more details on these major highlights. As already said by both the chairman and the CEO, Astaldi is a leading player, is a world leading player, internationally acknowledged and acclaimed, and it has a clear expertise when it comes to participating in complex work projects. And this has allowed Astaldi to implement a network of industrial and other types of relations. And it gives it a very interesting and attractive strategic positioning. From a technological viewpoint, the group is very much focused on project engineering. This will be explained in the next slide. We are not just working on the construction phase. We also focus on a proper and smart planning of the construction phase. The Astaldi Group has heavily invested in these activities and has now a very strong and robust internal know-how and expertise. And this is a very important element when it comes to its next year development goals. And as already stressed, there is a full continuity with respect to the previous years. And in view of this new partnership, they represent an interesting challenge. The group is exposed to markets and geographical areas. And it is important to identify the development drivers of these new markets and areas. As we will see in more detail, our activity is very much concentrated in areas of the market where demand is still increasing and it's still high. So we are in an expansionary environment, and the growth rate will continue to be around 7%. This is a substantial growth rate, and this lies within our capabilities. We start from a strong backlog, a well-diversified backlog of orders, and it will pave the way for our future development. We are diversified by geography and end markets and products, and in the next in the coming years, we will fine-tune our positioning even more thanks to the new partnership with the Japanese partner. And we are now focusing Far East markets where our presence has not been as strong as our presence in North America, Latin America, and Northern Europe. As we will see more details later, in the Astaldi financial situation, there are assets, working capital, that is still unlocked from a financial point of view. But after the disposal of the so-called slow-moving items, there will be additional cash flow on top of the operational cash flow, and this will make our financial goal even more credible and attainable. And this will tend to bring the net indebtedness to zero at the end of the plan. Now, let's move to slide 28. This is a summary presentation of the main element behind the competitive positioning of the Astaldi Group. We are highly specialized in the construction of bridges, mass transit and rail, hydro plants, healthcare and mining. As you can see, we are holding a good positioning, and this is expressed by the ranking reported here. We are taking and acquiring iconic projects, the third Bosphorus Bridge, which is the largest and longest hybrid bridge. We are also working on the ELT ESO Observatory, the world's largest telescope, which is going to be completed over the past few years. And then at the national level, we are working on major projects such as the Brenner Base Tunnel. Thanks to all these characteristics, Anstaldi will win and will get major benefits from its partnership. We can describe the Anstaldi group as the point of arrival of a strategy that the group has been pursuing in the last few years. Anstaldi can be viewed as an aggregator of competencies and skills. As Mr. Spinelli said, that we have completed the product range. We have a very comprehensive offering. And in the operations and maintenance business, we retain maintenance and operation for the core business. Thanks to this, we can present ourselves as a major developer for large and complex works. With this partnership, we will become even stronger. We will gain access to new markets and to new financial channels. We will access Japanese multilateral agreements. They are already very active in the large infrastructure sector. They are seeking funds abroad in order to pursue these projects, and they will provide a further opportunity to grow. From a quantitative viewpoint, the figures have been reported on this slide, but apart from these numbers, we have to consider that in the meantime, Astaldi has put together a top management team that has been able to consolidate an important know-how, and this know-how is a very important plus that we can offer, and this is one of the reasons why a large group such as IHI has identified Astaldi as an ideal partner. Let's move to slide 30. This is a list of our outlet markets by geography and by type of business. We see that the activities carried out by the Astaldi group are ideal for markets and products which still exhibit considerable growth rates. As part of our overall repositioning, the one that was implemented in the last 4 years has led us to acquire a stable presence in Chile, in North America, in Northern European markets, which are exhibiting growth rates and infrastructure rewamping projects that are in line and compatible with our business model. On the other hand, thanks to this partnership, new markets will open up. But this is not on top of our development plan. They will just give more concreteness to our plan. The plan 2018-2022 will be further strengthened by stronger operational capabilities, thanks to the financial plan and thanks to additional guarantees. And this gives us the possibility to pursue even larger projects.
And on the other hand, the technological and commercial capability that will definitely benefit from the IHI contribution. Then on page 31, we have a classic picture. So we have a backlog for 15 billion, which is broken down in different components. Of course, we have the essential, the core backlog execution, 11.7 billion, 2.5 billion in operation and maintenance. Operation and maintenance, as I said before, is an important factor and element because it gives us the opportunity to stay in the project even after construction, thus providing stability to revenues and margins. The impact on the NWC is very reduced. In terms of pure construction portfolio, we have 9 billion in execution, excluding Venezuela, that we have isolated, excluded for the time being. This gives us a coverage of quite an important visibility for the next 3 years, 90% for 2018. Already today, with the commercial activity we implemented in the early months of 2018, bringing 600 million acquisition in the first month, but then 300 million to follow, and this basically offer full coverage. The coverage of our portfolio, although revenues will increase, will still be very robust and sound. This gives us the possibility to have a medium-term planning, and this is an essential, crucial factor. This portfolio is now completely focusing once again on the EPC contracts with the characteristics and features we know. Strong technological component. The awarding of the contract does not just happen based on price, but also based on other further criteria, like the engineering capabilities, quality, and planning capabilities, and definitely the possibility to then put on the table what the Astaldi Group can then offer, the value engineering, which over time has always led to higher margins after the closing of the project, higher margins than the initial target. Very briefly, page 32. As to the highly diversified profile and the types of contracts, we can see that from a revenues point of view and portfolio point of view, we can see what the breakdown is. This is a snapshot. That makes us confident in the fact that the current structure of the group reflects the targets we had set a couple of years ago with the industrial plan that was refocusing the businesses on EPC and de-risking. This is a snapshot showing that the overall turnover process has been completed in 2 years and has now reached the point that we had forecast. Moving on to the financial side. On page 33, we recap the financial impact that we expect from the industrial plan resulting from the unlocking of items that are in the balance sheet. We are definitely talking about the cash-in of slow-moving receivables, Algeria and Romania. On top of this, we have an important component, the disposals of the concession assets for an overall aggregated amount of 18 months. We're talking about a short-term project, a short-term plan. This is something we are working on a daily basis, and we have particularly confident expectations so that by 2018, we will cover an important chunk of the 900 million, and then it will be completed in 2019 with the disposal of the Goi Motorway stake that can be done only following the construction phase, so in mid-2019. On top of these amounts that you see on the slide, we have some other assets that have to do both with the receivables, with the Third Bosphorus Bridge, for example, with the cash-in dynamic stretched out until 2026. On top of this, there is Venezuela. Venezuela has not been included in the current industrial plan. Let's now complete the financial assumption, analyzing the objectives that had been introduced by the CEO. So revenues between 3 to 4.2 billion, 7% average growth, and the essential part is already in our backlog or in the commercial pipeline that should become reality in the next few months. Then the very recent entry into the Indian market, the recent acquisition of a first contract in the Mexican market. So as you know, the repositioning process is being completed in terms of geography, and that had been called for in order to replace higher risk countries, for example, Venezuela, Russia, and Turkey. And our group, however, wants to still be present there, wants to still develop the business. In terms of core EBITDA, on the right of the slide, you see the development, absolute value. It is growing less than proportionally vis-à-vis revenues due to the margin repositioning. If we were to summarize the current and the past industrial plan, the difference between the two is the fact that in the previous one we had a recovery, a resuming of activities in Venezuela and payment in Venezuela. In the current industrial plan, there is zero effect from Venezuela. So the difference has to do specifically with this specific item. So this is the end of my presentation, because I have given you a sum up and a recap of all the highlights that can be seen as the appealing items for the Astaldi Group. As the chairman was saying before, this can offer a one-of-a-kind model in the current market of infrastructure. Thank you very much. And now moving to slide 36, I take the floor again to give you the main highlights of the Q1 2018 results. And of course, they are available also in the press release disclosed by the company. So first quarter results are the following. Very positive results in terms of the commercial strategy. Astaldi in the first 3 months acquired 646 million of new EPC orders in countries with a suitable risk profile, suitable and adequate to the de-risking strategy. The latest acquisitions, the most important one is the intermodal unit in the Mexico City airport, 120 million euros. This is the Astaldi stake. Then in terms of revenues, 604 million, above 604 million revenues, slightly smaller than last year, the same time last year, but we reconfirm the targets of the previous slides. The revenues of this first quarter were impacted by some items, for example, the closing of some large construction works, and at the same time, the start of the acquired contracts. And their contribution will be visible in the next quarter. So the target of 2018 takes this into account. But anyway, it is definitely a significant result. The company kept pursuing growth. Of course, the effect, the revenues were also impacted by the dollar exchange rate, about 20 million euros was the impact, and we had this to bear in mind. There was a sharp increase in O&M revenues, and this goes to show how much the group is actually pushing this activity. Core EBITDA plus 8% growth to 72.5 million. Net of the capital gain Chagayas in the first quarter 2017. Otherwise, of course, growth would have been higher. Then, in terms of margin, there is the missing contribution from the SPV of the third Bosphorus Bridge because it was reclassified in 2017 as a non-current asset to be disposed of. Then in terms of net financial position, there's an increase of debt to 1.669 million, well, sorry, 1,000 million, but this is part of the seasonality, and the same goes for the working capital. In terms of working capital, in the past 4 years, we know that the first quarter absorbs 220 million on average, so seasonality must be taken into account. But then we know that during the year, the targeted values are recovered. So these are the typical absorption, network capital absorption for the period. And this obviously is mirrored in all the different financial parameters. Of course, then in 2018, we decided to focus on production. So strategic suppliers were guaranteed. We did not really push on the working capital for suppliers. We have used factoring, non-recourse factoring less. We went down from 250 to 260 million. And then we have less advance payments from suppliers because of the new accounting principles, accounting standards, and also for a time-related effect. So anyway, this quarter was very challenging. We achieved different results in terms of production too. And these are the typical seasonal effects that come into play. To conclude, and to leave now room for questions, on page 39, we see the key highlights, the take-home messages. So Astaldi continues to deliver on its strategy. And in the strategic plan, it has a new solid industrial partner that will enable it to deliver on a specific delisting and growth targets. Then we have obviously established a plan to strengthen the capital structure of the company. We have a holistic capital and financial strengthening plan. So we now expect cash in from asset disposals and also from the slow moving items. The management, as you can see, is focusing on all the objectives listed, in particular for the financial strengthening objective, and we are fully supported by the reference shareholders because they all believe and trust the company. So I thank you very much for your attention. And I'd now like to move on to the Q&A session. In order to streamline the next phase, I'd like not to receive more than two questions during the conference call. Thank you. Conference call operator speaking. We will now start the Q&A session. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. In order to exit the booking list, press star followed by two. Please ask your question using the speaking into the microphone. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one now. The first question from the Italian conference call, Giuseppe Mapelli, Equita. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one has to do the negotiations with banks. If you can give us some colors on the suspensive conditions for the banks, that could possibly withheld the green light for the capital increase, because I know that these conditions are they're not really specifically stated. And the second question has to do with the accounts performance in the first quarter, because I saw that it went down significantly from 521 to 278. So I'd like to know 600 million at the end of the year. So another question, if you can give us an idea of how much of the 77 million commitments that you indicated in terms of investment in CapEx, if you can give us a breakdown between equity and non-equity. Well, first of all, I'd like to answer the first question on the conditions precedent, because they were mentioned in the press release, so I'd like to comment them briefly. Among all the different conditions precedent, the company must have reached important milestones in the asset disposal plan in the specific concessions business line. This milestone has to do with the disposal of the third Bosphorus Bridge and also refers to the presentation, the submission of the binding offers for this specific asset. Then there is the fact that the company has received the green light by some banks, lending banks, for lending higher than 25 million, which means renegotiating with banks supporting the groups, renegotiating the maturity of these credit facilities. And this activity has, or we have already started this activity in the past few weeks and will keep on doing it. And that's what I wanted to say as far as waivers are concerned, too. And then, of course, there is also the idea to extend some credit lines. Then, just once, on this, I'd like to understand whether there are some constraints in terms of unanimity or whether negotiation can happen so that there is no need for the unanimous consent of the involved banks. Well, as to this specific part, I'd give the floor to Simone Di Felice, who is more savvy of this.
Yes. With regard to the waiver request, we are approaching the system in order to require the suspension of the waiver application, the financial covenants, starting from the 500 million of the revolving credit facility line, with respect to which all the other bilateral funding agreements and facilities are aligned in terms of financial coverage. This pool syndicated loan has a relative majority of two-thirds in order to express the necessary consent to our request of suspension of the covenant application. With regard to other lines and facilities, which are detailed in our explanatory notes to the financial statements, the bilateral facilities, the bilateral consent has to be expressed positively by all the lenders. We have a threshold here of 25 million As reported in the explanatory note, the non-default clause. So this is the threshold of 25 million. As far as additional condition precedents involved and communicated in the release, this concerns the confirmation of the uncommitted lines and the renewal and extension of the maturities in the coming months on the committed lines, and the amount is above 350 million. And this is an important condition in order to protect the liquidity profile of the group, so that the impact of the financial plan, the impact of the capital increase on the one hand, and of the positive effects of the proceeds from the sale and disposal of the assets, so that these positive effects will be retained in the company instead of being drained by the banking system. So this is a kind of protection and safeguard for us. But apart from this detailed explanation, I would like to say that, of course, we have to put together the consortium for the unsubscribed tranches, and then there is the investment agreement with the company as of the date of the guarantee contract subscription. These are all ordinary conditions precedent. They are usual in market conditions such as the current ones. They are ordinary conditions precedent when it comes to these types of transactions, and I'm referring to the pre-underwriting now. With regard to other more specific questions on the financial statements, I would like to hand over to Marco Caucci. As far as advance payments are concerned, they moved to 520 to 277 with the new quarterly report. A new principle was introduced in order to reclassify some balance sheet items without making a restatement of previous year items. I'm providing a reply, but this will be explained in the explanatory note. As of March the 31st of this year, the 277 have been reclassified at 210. So the contra item is represented by work in progress. As far as investments planned in concession, 77 million for 2011. We have 33 loan and 41 equity, M4 in Milan, the Ethic Hospital, and the Santiago Airport. These are the three projects involved. Thank you. So the next question is by Saul Casadio by MNG. So, thank you very much for allowing me to ask a question. I have just one question concerning the capital increase, actually. In the financial plan that you presented today, and which is in line with the previous ones, your expectation is to cash in 900 million from the asset disposal, concession asset disposal, and to end up with a positive cash flow on the industrial area, on the industrial side. So this plan envisages a significant deleveraging of the company without even requiring a capital increase, a 300 million capital increase. We think that this capital increase is quite redundant. Why have you decided to embark on this capital increase? Is this a condition posed by the banks when it comes to refunding the credit lines? Thank you for your question. We started mentioning the capital strengthening back in November, after the writing down of the Venezuela receivables. This is a period in which the company wants to strengthen its financial position for rebalancing purposes. We want the company to be stronger and to be less exposed to developments and to events that may occur during the year. There are situations which may penalize us on certain quarters. And then we decided to increase the capital, to pursue this capital increase in order to improve our rating position. So this plan is thoroughly planned, and its aim is to strengthen the company's financial position and to make the company more powerful when it comes to operating on the market. And this strengthens the company and allows it to address the various business cycles effectively. Yes, this is true, but the true deleveraging effect doesn't come from the capital increase. The bulk comes from the disposal of the concession assets. So given the difficulties entailed in a capital increase, are you very confident the disposal part is very substantial already? So this capital increase won't have a great impact. So can you explain why it is still part of this financial plan? And can you give me an idea as to the discussions undertaken with the banks? Have you addressed this topic with the banks? If I've understood the question, it is clear that this plan fits in with the goal of strengthening the financial position of the company and of deleveraging the company. So the two elements of the plan are the capital increase and the asset disposal. The asset disposal follows a specific timeline, is staggered over time. If we consider a cash in within a specific timeline, so everything is strictly monitored. The capital increase is a substantial structural action. It comes at a precise moment. It has always been deemed necessary and of fundamental importance in order to make this company stronger on the market. Both the company and its management have taken a major step with the presentation of this plan, which I reiterate once again, is of fundamental importance in order to strengthen the company's position and presence on the market. Thank you for your answer. The next question will be asked in English by Michael Bort in Zona.
Hi, I have a few questions, if I may. Firstly, can you talk about the level of due diligence that has been undertaken by IHI in committing to the capital increase, and what contingencies still exist surrounding their investment, please?
So this is Paolo Astaldi. With regard to the due diligence level, a quite in-depth analysis was carried out after this analysis, a decision was made to go forward with the investment. As far as contingencies are concerned, these are normal market events, so there's nothing significant with regard to this, with regard to contingencies.
Is the sale of the Bosphorus Bridge either an implicit requirement of the capital increase or the investment by IHI? You said you had to meet certain milestones.
As I said before, these are the usual ones. There must be a consortium, and the capital increase is something usual. There's nothing unusual in this.
And my second question is with respect to the bridge sale. I mean, it's now 9 months essentially since you announced to the world that you wrote down the Venezuelan assets. And it's 2 months since you said, you know, we should have an offer on the table for the Bosphorus Bridge. Can you tell me two things? One, what is the delay in getting there? And two, how many parties are actually still interested in buying that bridge, please?
It's clear that the third Bosphorus Bridge is an important asset investment-wise, given the size of the investment. As planned, we put the process in motion, relying on international advisors. We've already received non-binding offers. We assessed these non-binding offers. We are in the final duty phase, contest phase, and very shortly, by the end of June, we will be able to have all the offers on the table. The due diligence activity is at an advanced stage already. We have more than one option on the table, more than one offer on the table. In terms of the timeline, we are absolutely in line with our plan. We plan to finalize the binding offers by the first half of 2018, so by the end of June.
Can I ask, because I saw in the financial statements the revenues that the bridge is generating, can you just confirm whether those payments are annual or semi-annual? I think it was a number of around 70 million euros.
The revenue structure of this project and the SPV cashes in daily tolls. And at the end of the year, after calculating the actual use, the minimum guarantee balance is collected, and this takes place once a year in the month of April. In April 2017, we cashed in the balance on 2016, and last April, we collected the balance with regard to the previous year. So this is the current operation, and as planned, the traffic is below the minimum guaranteed level, but after the opening of the third Istanbul Airport, We expect the traffic to increase significantly, so we will be less dependent on the minimum guaranteed level.
Okay, and if I may just ask one final question. Your cash flow statement that you proposed in the business plan, if I assume that your disposal proceeds are correct and also that you received the late payments, it appears that the underlying business will again be free cash flow negative in 2018. I know you've built this bridge to, you know, a billion of free cash flow generated from operations over the up to 2022. But the fact is the business has been free cash flow negative for a number of years, even excluding the investment in concessions, which for 2018 at least will still be quite substantial.
From a financial viewpoint, the year 2018 has seen a substantial effect from the third bridge disposal. On the other hand, as already said before, there is a significant value of 80 million worth of concession capex. Net of this, from a financial perspective and net of the financial plan, the operational free cash flow is both substantial and positive, but in 2018 there will be significant financial charges weighing on the income statement because the financial benefit in terms of reduction of financial charges will become more significant next year in 2019. But from an operational viewpoint, the cash flow of the year is not going to be negative with regard to cash generated by the project, from the project.
Okay, thank you.
The next question by Wolfgang Felix of Paria Asset Management.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations, first of all, for putting the deal together. just quickly on the sale of the bridge, I don't know if I haven't yet read it anywhere. Can you share with us what potentially minimum value or so would be attached to the conditions precedent with respect to the capital raise? Is it book value, or is there a different value? That's my first question.
My name is Alessandra Onorati. With regard to the capital increase related conditions with reference to the third bridge disposal, the conditions are the following. The offer must be considered valid and adequate in terms of value, and by adequate offers I mean that they are subject to be debated with the banks, but what we expect is a value that is held and deemed to be satisfactory, taking into consideration the investment made, but I can't give you a more precise assessment.
Okay, thank you. And second, do I understand correctly that you are targeting advance payments by the end of this year to total 600 million euros? And if so, would that be under the new or the old accounting rules, i.e. would that be a cash inflow of 50 million year over year or 260 million year over year?
The 600 million restoration of the advance payments refers to the old accounting principle. So our target refers to the old accounting principle. 600 million is in line with the accounting principles adopted until 2017. We expect contractual advances of plus 50 million in the remainder of the year.
Thank you. And one final housekeeping request, if I may. You used to give us a relatively detailed breakdown, project by project, of your rate of completion, et cetera, rate of progress. And if I remember correctly, the December accounts did not have such a detailed breakdown. We've got a little more detail now in this presentation. Could you make available to us a more detailed breakdown again, please?
On page 14, you see a table in line with the presentations made in the past. We report the completion percentage of the 10 top projects, the construction projects. If you want a more detailed presentation, upon a specific request, we can certainly send it to you.
Thank you very much, then. Thank you.
The next question is from Oleg Komen, Ironship Capital.
Yes, hi. I think this question has already been asked in Italian, but I didn't fully understand the answer. So what is the rationale for raising the 300 million in capital increase if you're already raising so much from your disposal proceeds? I mean, I understand that the bridge proceeds are supposed to come in sort of in the second half of 2018, and this is about the same timing as the capital increase. So, I mean, it's not 100% clear to me, and I think sort of the answer that I took away earlier is sort of that it's part of the plan to increase the capital position of the company, but I think it's somewhat circular answer. I mean, between the sale proceeds and the capital increase, to what extent will that money be used to repay some of the existing banks? That is the first question.
So we are speaking of a financial plan, not just of a capital increase. This is a holistic, all-encompassing plan in order to address all financial and other types of aspects of the group. But this is why we have a first pillar, which is the capital increase, and then a continuation of the asset disposal. This is the second part of the financial plan, plus the refinancing activity. First of all, the bond refinancing, but also a refinancing of the credit facilities, the current credit facilities of the group. All these four elements together are aimed at repositioning the group
From a commercial and financial viewpoint, because our main target is to refinance the bond, and this is why we have to have our rating raised into B territory. So this is our goal. So the overall financial plan seeks to increase in a considerable way the flexibility and the financial liquidity of the group. This is the main aim. It doesn't finally repay debts. It aims at extending maturities, also with regard to bank lines, in order to get to the bond refinancing. We may start with this at the end of this year or beginning of next year. Its maturity is set for 2020, so we are getting ready to exploit the most adequate window in order to move forward with this transaction.
Yes, sorry, but I'm not sure I fully understood this. When it comes to repaying, using the proceeds to repay the banks, I mean, is that part of the plan or not? Because you're talking about refinancing 350 million of committed facilities, but you have much more, and there is also a 500 million RCF as well. So I'm just trying to understand, between the sale of the Bosphorus Bridge and between the 300 million capital raise, will any of those proceeds be used to repay any of the bank debt?
My name is Simone Di Felice. The proceeds dedicated to capital increase, coming from capital increase, will be used to reduce the gross indebtedness and free resources and value. And we do this with a considerable one-shot transaction in order to reduce the interest burden on the group. This is of fundamental importance. The income statement is considerably impacted by this item. The debt that we will reduce is a revolving loan. There will be the amendments we are requesting in this regard. After the collection of the third bridge assets, so we wanted to maintain liquidity within the company. So the improved liquidity profile that will derive from this will play a fundamental role, and this has also been represented by the rating agencies. So this will be fundamental for bringing the liquidity ratio of the company within an adequate range. And this is the main precondition for the company to be perform well on the market. So we want the rating to be brought to the B territory, and this is of fundamental importance in order for the company to participate in the financial market and in order to be able to refinance its bond that will expire in 2020. And this will give comfort to the financial and banking system when it comes to refinancing the revolving credit facility and the other facilities of the group. When we referred to the 350 million worth of credit lines, which are part of the financial plan, we are actually referring to what the company is actually doing in order to renegotiate and extend the maturity of these lines beyond 2018, 2019, with the aim of repositioning the group's liquidity profile.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear on the first question. My second question is a follow-up on the condition precedent for underwrite and, I guess, for the IHI participation as well. I mean, when it comes to the minimum value for the bridge, you said that it's subject to be debated by the banks. I mean, you don't have to quote the number itself. It would be good if you could, but you don't have to. But is there a minimum amount that you have to sell the bridge for, right? The book value is $350 million or so. If you sell it for, say, $100 million, would that be acceptable? That's part of the question. And the second question, does the RCF maturity also need to be extended as part of the CPs?
I reiterate what we said in the press release, and please refer to the press release. The condition precedent concerning the capital increase, the underwriting consortium, it envisages that we receive at least one binding offer whose value is of a satisfactory level for the sale of this asset. This is all we can say with regard to this condition precedent. As we said earlier, we have negotiations underway, and since there are negotiations still underway, we can't be more precise on values. The IHI investment agreement is conditional upon the capital increase being executed. And this answers your question on IHI.
Yes, and what about the RCF? Does the maturity have to be extended?
L'RCF, the RCF expires in November 2019. As we said, the company's goal is to extend the expiry date by at least 3 years, and this is part of the overall program with all the various assumptions. However, this is not a condition precedent. This is not a CP for the underwriting agreement.
Okay, thank you.
Next question from Goldman Sachs, Pion Bend.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I wonder if you could give us a bit more details around the capital structure, given that apparently you drew 134 million euros of cash flow from financing in Q1. And you had 30 million of bilats that came due in Q1, so roughly 160 million euros of debt. Could you tell us now what's the amount outstanding under the RCF, both the original 500 million RCF and the new 120 million that you got, as well as the amount outstanding on the uncommitted lines? And you mentioned the factoring facility earlier, but I didn't catch the number. I think you said 250. But could you give us as well the amount outstanding under the reverse factoring? And then second question specifically with regards to the bilateral loan with Banco do Brasil that was due last week on May 11th, 8.7 million. Have you repaid this facility?
Thank you. So just 1 minute to structure and put together information in order to be able to answer your questions. I try to summarize every single point. As of March the 31st, the 500 million revolving facility was fully drawn. The additional facility of 120 million was drawn for a sum of 65 million. There was an available limit of 45 million, therefore. With regard to the value of the reverse factoring, we don't have a limit, an associated limit, because this program is aimed at supporting our suppliers' ability to discount their receivables versus the Astaldi Group company. So this is a line associated with our suppliers. It concerns our suppliers. With regard to the company's recourse to non-recourse factoring facilities, so our ability to sell credits on a or receivables on a non-recourse basis, as already detailed in the presentation, the outstanding amount decreased considerably when compared compared to last December, from 250 to about 158 million. This is the last value as of March. I
so
hope I've
eight.
Answered all your questions.
158. Well, just just on the reverse factoring, if you could give us the utilization, not necessarily the amount, and then the question on the bilateral loan that came due last week.
The reverse factoring, so the commitment is 95 million as of the end of March. And if I got your question right, with regard to the bilateral negotiations, we have repaid all our commitments until March the 31st. As also announced in the press release, and this is part of the liquidity profile strengthening program of the company, we are about to renegotiate the maturities of the next lines of funding with all the various counterparties. And in this renegotiation process, no particular issues have emerged. So renegotiations are underway. The boost that the announcement of the plan and the implementation of the plan will be able to give to the negotiations with the other parties, with the counterparties, I think that this will improve our ability to deliver on this.
Okay, so you confirmed that you've repaid this 8.7 million euro amount that was due last week on the 11th.
So the item you are referring to, with regard to this amount, negotiations are underway with Banco do Brasil to see whether it is possible to postpone this repayment after the implementation of the plan, of the financial plan. So we are currently discussing with them on whether this is possible.
Thank you.
Next question, Max Incoge from ODDO.
Yes, I think the question was already raised, but it regards the conditions precedent to the capital increase. I understand on the one hand that there will be a condition attached to the sale of the Bosphorus Bridge. There is another condition attached to the maintenance by the banks of their exposure. Can you give the total of bank lines, committed and uncommitted, that they must retain so that the underwriting works by the banks? What amount of committed and uncommitted lines must the bank retain, the bank pool retain, so that the underwriting by the banks works?
Hello, Maxim. The condition precedent for the underwriting for the capital increase, please refer to the banking list that we sent out. In substance, the company must be able to confirm or extend the maturities of committed lines and or uncommitted lines for a total amount of at least 300 million. This is the condition precedent that is part of the current agreement.
Okay, so this amount includes committed and uncommitted lines?
Yes, it's written in the press release. The repayment of committed or uncommitted credit lines. So this is literally explained in the press release.
Okay, okay. So that was my only question. Thank you.
The next question from Victoria Farr of Sentinelle, please.
Thank you. Just a question regarding liquidity. Can you confirm how much availability you have under your committed lines and under your uncommitted lines? And then also comment on the availability of sort of bonding and guarantee lines, please.
As of March the 31st, on a consolidated basis, there is an overall availability of credit lines of 210 million, split by 45 million of committed lines and 163 million of uncommitted lines. So 208 broken down by 45 and 163.
Thank you. And with regard to the bonding lines or guarantee lines?
With regard to the bonding lines, we have a still substantial availability, very much concentrated on the specific projects and also at corporate level. And it's about 650 million of availability, including the bank lines and insurance lines. So both banking and insurance lines.
Okay, thank you. And with regard to your cash balance, how much of that is truly available, or could you give a split of the cash that sits at the holdco versus at the opcos?
On a consolidated basis, our overall cash availability is about 355 million euros. They are concentrated on the parent company, 247 million. This is the share of the parent company. And with regard to the subsidiary companies, they amount to about 108 million. Subsidiaries are either wholly owned subsidiaries and partially owned subsidiaries. And here we have a split between 50 and 58 million. You know that a part of this liquidity is available for the project, is made available for the project execution.
Thank you.
Next question, Raul Seguera from Tenavari.
Hello, thanks a lot for taking the question. The question that I had with respect to the non-binding offers that you have received so far for the third Bosphorus Bridge. I do remember that in the past you did say that you wanted to refinance the $2.9 billion non-recourse loan subscribed in May 14, subscribed by Turkish banks that was supposed to be renewed, into a concession-type loan, i.e. with a maturity that would match the concession maturity. The question is, have the bidders put as a precondition of the binding offers this refinancing of the loan effectively? That's the first question I have. The second question would be with respect to, in the past, I think you've alluded to a minimum cash requirement on a consolidated basis. I don't remember if it was 350 million euros, but could you reiterate what is the level of minimum cash that is required effectively to be able to continue operations, in particular to be able to offset any kind of significant outflows, delays, and things like that in the project specifically? We're not talking here about legally tight cash. We're talking about the cash that the Treasury estimates that is needed to be able to offset any kind of delays that are taking, any kind of increase in cost which are unexpected, and basically to carry on and complete the projects effectively.
The non-binding offers we've received and on which we are working envisage the current financial structure of the project and the current refinancing. The refinancing may envisage an upside to be paid at the time of closing. The offers we are receiving are based on the current financial situation and structure. We have embarked on an analysis, of course, but now we are embarking in this disposal plan on the basis of the current financial structure. This is not a closing condition precedent. This could be a subsequent price adjustment element.
Sorry, let me try to understand. The bidders are asking in their effectively bids that the $2.9 billion recourse loan, could you please confirm the maturity of that loan? Are they requesting that that loan is refinanced effectively before the closing of the transaction on the third Bosphorus Bridge? And if yes, is this an important conditions precedent for actually the capital raise, because everything is tied to? So just to try to understand, are the bidders asking for refinance of that non-recourse loan before completing the transaction?
I repeat, under the current disposal plan, we envisage exclusively the asset sale and disposal on the basis of the current financial structure. It doesn't envisage a refinancing, and it does not represent a condition precedent at the closing. We consider this as a potential upside, but since the time needed is too long, we have decided to proceed with the disposal on the basis of the current financial structure. If in the future the refinancing option will become valid again, we may have to reassess it as a post-closing price adjustment. However, I repeat, the current disposal plan is based on the current financial structure, so a refinancing is not a condition precedent. The refinancing-related activities are now being frozen pending the completion of the disposal process. So there is time of one last question. This has to do with time-related and organizational issues. The next question by Bruno Bolin.
Hi, thank you for your time just now. Some of my questions have been answered, but I guess the first one is if you could give us, for Q1 18, the bridge between EBITDA and operating cash flow? I mean, how much is the negative working capital impact, more specifically? My second question would be, do you expect a cash inflow or outflow in Q2? I mean, I know you've said in H2 you expect some inflows, but I'd like to know what's going on for Q2. The third one is on the factoring lines. So you said you were reducing the non-recourse factoring lines. I would like to know whether these lines are being reduced or not renewed, or if this is actually less utilized. And then I just wanted to come back on the Bosford Bridge debt. And I wanted to know, I mean, clearly, you know, there's the elections in Turkey that are happening in June. There's a lot of volatility in the market. And do you believe that if you have to ask for an extensions to your lenders in the Bosphorus Bridge debt, will it be on the same terms as it was at the time of the origination of the loan, given that, you know, most of the, if I look at, for example, the Gavi Turkish bonds in dollars, I mean, they have, you know, the yields have increased dramatically over the past few months. And so lastly, you know, could this have an impact on the equity value of the bridge? Thank you.
With regard to the reduction of the factoring program from 260 to 150 million, this is due to a combination of different factors. First of all, there have been fewer receivables that can be the object of a disposal. This has to do with the winter production in Canada and some effects are coming from Poland. So there have been these effects in the first quarter. With regard to the working capital increase, we haven't prepared any bridge. I try to answer very briefly to your questions, but when you will read the financial statements plus the explanatory notes, you will understand better. On the one hand, there has been an increase in working capital due to the lower recourse to the non-recourse disposals. This is a normal operational instrument being used by the company. In some cases, our client relies on a factoring company, for example, the Ferrovie Italiane does this. As you can see from the financial report, there has been a decrease of payables because we have accepted the working site requirements and needs by increasing production. With regard to the non-recourse lines, everything should be restored after the plan implementation, and we should resume the ordinary conditions. The working capital absorption in the first quarter was the result of the ordinary absorption plus these two components I've just mentioned, but this will significantly decrease in the second half of the year thanks to the greater financial capacity of the group to address this phenomena in a more positive way. With regard to the third bridge, and with regard to the process underway, we are waiting for the binding offers. We have a clear program. We have proactive advisors who are managing the project. We have very credible offers. The non-binding offers were already quite structured. As far as the forthcoming elections are concerned, we are not concerned
So there is no element of concern on our part. And by June, we are confident to receive offers as expected. From the point of view of values, our assets are based on dollars. Those who are engaged in the assessment have already taken account of the various risk profile aspects in order to assess the risk profile of the investment. And this was considered also in the non-binding offers because they are quite recent. And the non-binding offers we have on the table are very interesting for us. As far as the final outcome of the due diligence is concerned, being this a quite simple asset based on the current financial structure, so there is no refinancing involved, then we have minimum guarantee amounts and expected traffic, and everything is based on the US dollar. We are not expecting particular events, and no criticalities have been identified so far in the due diligence and assessment process. So this is a snapshot of the situation with regard to the third Bosphorus Bridge.
But so is it on the basis that the existing debt will be extended or refinanced under the same terms or at higher terms, given that, you know, the market may have moved in Turkey for financing these assets and it could be more expensive? Could you please clarify that point?
In the current phase, we are not working on the refinancing. At present, the expectations to close the refinancing with substantially better conditions is not realistic. An upside could come in terms of the tenor of the refinancing because in the meantime, the time has been increased by about 6 months, by about 2 years. And this involves the possibility of lengthening and extending the tenor, thereby freeing up some cash flows for the shareholder. We are not considering this at present for the disposal project, but we may evaluate this as an upside when it comes to the final transactions and negotiations. We have asked to make a on-top assessment of the refinancing phenomenon. Its added value is an extension of time and not a limiting of the refinancing costs. So the main benefit would be an extension of the time.
Thank you. But
thank you very much for participating. And at the next event, you may answer further questions. For lack of time, we have not been able to answer all of your questions or queries, and thank you very much for your attention.